So vanoggend wil ek net ook uit my hart uit net drie verse met julle deel as dit kom by dankbaarheid. En ek het soveel goed om voor dankbaar te wees. Ek gaan dit nou vir julle sê. Maar ek wil net gou die skrif voor julle hou. And we're going to read then Isaiah 43 verse 2. And it says the following. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Okay, so God is always with us when we, you know, want to do His will. But the thing is, many times other people don't know what God is doing in our lives. And we need to share that with other people. We need to open up our mouths and start speaking for what the Lord has done in our lives and through our lives. So, I want to read here in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Verse 11. Thessalonians. Okay, I can say the word. I just struggled. Verse 11 says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. Okay, so there's a place where we must, you know, the Holy Spirit is our comforter, yes, but there's a place where we must comfort one another and we must encourage one another with what God is doing in our lives. Okay, so, and I'm also guilty, you know, I don't walk around enough just proclaiming what God is doing in my life, because there's most a pulpit coming on Sunday where I can proclaim a lot of things. But it's not in that place where we should be. It should be our lifestyle. We should be comforting one another and edifying one another. So that's why I'm asking these people to come and to share what the Lord has laid on their hearts, have done in their lives, so that we can hear and we can be excited, we can be encouraged with them. Last scripture is Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. And it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, this is a great scripture actually for church, and the reason why we do it, church. This is supposed to be exhortation of one another, and with the word and all of those things that we do from the pulpit. Maar as dit kom hierso by waar ons nou sit, remember, when you come to church, you come as an agent of God to come and exhort and just bring courage, bring comfort, and exalt one another. That's what the word says. So come and exalt one another when you come to church. Come prepared to church. That's one of the things that we've lost, you know, in our cosmopolitan consumerist society, where I'm going to come to church to receive. All through the Bible, everybody came to the assembly of the Lord prepared. They came to bring something. And we can all bring, we are supposed to bring something. Okay? And I'm not talking about money, please. Okay? Ek vra nie dat julle soos moet nog meer geld gee nie. As julle wil, doen dit. Maar, this is not about money. Okay? So when you come to church, God has given you a lot of stuff. And He's done through your life a lot of things. And there are some people here that needs to hear your voice when you come in here. No, when God highlights somebody, then go to that person and say, "Hoorie, dit is wat ek voel die Here net vir jou sê." Of, "Yes, wie wat? The Lord did this in my life today." Maklik. En dan sê ou soos af, "Okay, jou freak. Dit is great. Wees 'n freak. Encourage, exhort one another." Right? So that's just the scriptural base for this morning and why we are really just thankful to the Lord, and the Lord says, come with thanksgiving to me, and that's what we are doing. So, ek wil net soos vanoggend sê, dat ek is dankbaar, baie dankbaar. Where is my lovely wife? Sê in die babakamer. Ek weet, jy kan my hoor, my blom. Maar eerstens, as gemeente, as leier van hierdie gemeente, I'm thankful for my wife, she's amazing. Sy is regtig net soos mal kruid vir my. En ek kan nie sonder haar doen wat ek doen nie. Meer as wat julle dink. So dankie my skat. Ek is baie baie lief vir jou. En dan as ek julle gaan uitlaas, vergewe my. Dan kom sê jy vir my na die tyd, jy het my vergeet, dan sê ek ek is jammer. Firstly, Marcus, Pieter, Irina, Nelia, Louis, Gerda, Gerda is seker in die kinderkerk weer. Anyway, thank you guys. Maar Dani en maar Janet, vir julle sal ek ook in daai groep insit. Ooh, nou wil ek vir die mense dankie sê as hulle hier vanoggend. Anyway. Maar ek is dankbaar vir julle. Dankie vir julle inspraak in my en Daniel se lewe. Dankie dat julle soos regtig vir ons daar is. Thank you for carrying the massive burden of just pastoring a church with us. And I'm one of the most privileged pastors that I know to have capable men and women like you helping me. I'm really thankful. Thank you. En as ek nou aangeraak, ek begin huil. Maar julle is amazing. Ek waardeer vir julle. Dan al die selleiers. Wat in hierdie jaar, as jy nou so selleier was en nou nie meer is nie, of jy het net niet geword, sal al die selleiers net geopstaan wat die is. Wat was en wat is in die laaste jaar. Staan net geop. There we go. I really want to honor you and say thank you for what you have done and what you are doing in this church. You are really making a difference in the lives of people and you will have your reward in heaven. Okay? Wat julle doen is 'n amazing werk. En julle doen ongelooflik goed daarin. En ek is dankbaar vir julle. Dankie vir dit wat julle doen. Okay. Ek eer vir julle. Kom ons gee net vir hulle 'n lekker handeklap. En dan wil ek graag soos vir Hendrik en al die worship mense staan julle gou op. Ek gaan julle almal laat staan. Dit nou die ek het die ouderlinge het ek soos het ek laat sit. Hulle is oud. Ouderlinge. Okay. Kom, hier's nog mense wat in die worship span is en soos oefen. Okay? Dankie vir wat julle doen. Dan that is one of the things that I'm really so blessed about our congregation is that we are a congregation of worshipers. En die mense wat soos dien op die worship span is daai mense. So you don't have people that do worship. You have worshipers that lead us in worship. En ek wil vir julle eer. Dankie dat julle worshipers in hart is. Wat wanneer julle hier kom, dan is dit 'n uitvloeisel van wat julle anyway is. Okay, ek eer julle. Ek sê vir julle dankie vir dit wat julle doen. The Lord bless you. Ons is so blessed deur julle. Dankie vir vanoggend weer eens. Maar anyway, ek wil vir julle eer. Dankie. Julle kan sit. So ja, kom ons gee vir hulle 'n lekker handeklap. Hi, it's amazing. En dan net soos die mense wat nie altyd gesien word nie. Van julle word gesien daar voor, all the people that say welcome. Dan ons verwelkomingskomitee span, baie van hulle is nou nie hier nie. Maar vir julle wil ek dankie sê. And then also for the sound people and those doing the multimedia, for those of you welcoming people formally, those of you on the committee, not just the cell members, and those doing the sound and the media, please just stand up. Well, the media, please stand up. Please stand up. Halleluja. Kom nou man. Jy moet nie bang wees nie. Halleluja, dankie Jovald. Nee bro, jy moet staan, Nasta is Stefan het ook bygekom. Great. Ek eer vir julle vir wat julle doen. You know, many times we think that we are doing something that is insignificant. What we do, what I do is important. That's not the case. Jy groet vir iemand en jy sê vir hom hallo, daarvan vooraf en hulle begin om hulle harte oop te maak soos, ooh, iemand het vir my hallo gesê. Iemand my drukkie gegee. And you are part of the whole process of what happens. En as jy soos die woorde van die liedjies doen, soos jy goed gedoen het laas week, Jovald, soos die mense hoef nie te wag vir hulle woorde nie. Jy weet, dan is dit soos deel van hoe jy mense kan inlei in die Here se teenwoordigheid. So you are doing an amazing work. Thank you for what you are doing. We honor you. Kom ons gee vir hulle asseblief 'n lekker handeklap. And then a big one for us is all the ladies and gentlemen helping with our children's church. Please stand up. Okay? Ek weet hiervan, meeste van hulle is nou daar binne anyway, maar julle kan vir hulle sê, ek het vir hulle gesê, baie dankie. Dankie vir wat julle doen. Dankie vir wat julle doen soos vir die kinders. Building up the next generation. Okay? One of the things that we do really well in this church is children's church. So baie dankie vir hoe julle operate en hoe julle werk. Ons eer vir julle. En sê vir die mense daar binne, ek sê vir hulle dankie, ek het vir hulle dankie gesê. Duik hulle! Victoria, okay? Goeie, duik hulle plat. Baie, baie dankie vir julle. En dan, yes. En dan Harriet, jy kan weer staan, jy en jou span, allemaal wat soos voltyds betrokke is by die sopkombuis. En daar help Gavi. Almal van julle wat daarso betrokke is, ek weet dieselfde gaan soos om te help en soos goeders te doen, maar baie dankie vir dit wat julle doen. You are doing a thankless job. Okay, so that is mostly where people are really poor, but they really need help. So thank you for what you are doing and for serving them faithfully. Ons eer vir julle, baie dankie vir dit wat julle doen. Okay, amen. Great. Wie het ek uitgelos? Nee, ek gaan nie vir Satan gaan niks sê nie. Okay, amen. Hallelujah. So, this morning, I want to invite... Oh, Tabitha, ja. Yes, ja. Ek het actually op my lysie gehad. Tabitha, baie dankie vir dit wat jy doen. Okay, sy word betaal vir wat sy doen, maar sy doen baie meer as waarvoor sy betaal word. So, ek eer vir jou, baie dankie vir dit wat jy doen. It's amazing, your werk is great. So, kom ons geef haar een lekker hande klap. Goed. So, I'm just going to give you the rundown of the people that are going to come and speak. So when the person that's in front of you is done, then you just come up. So first is going to be Hendrik, then Sibongile, then Alta, then Nobuthle, then Andre, and then Peter. Okay, you got it. All right. Is there somebody that put up their names that I hear that I missed? Okay, hallelujah. Now, to Hendrik, ons wacht vir jou. Jy is eerste. And then Sibongile, Alta, Mabuthle, Andre, and Peter.
Môre allemaal. Okay, vir die wat my nie ken nie, ek is Hendrik. My vrou is Tabitha, sy is nou daar agter met ons seentjie. So, ek het geweet ek moet vandag hier staan en getuienis gee. Ek het nie geweet wat is die een om te kies nie, want daar is te veel. Daar is heeltemal te veel. En ja, ek het maar vir die Here gevra en soos wat hy my altyd doen, praat hy deur my vrou. En sy het vir my ge-highlight wat is die een om te gee en daaroor gebid en ja, is definitief een. Dis 'n soos alle getuienisse maar as jy is getuienisse oor hoop en geloof. En dan is definitief een van geloof. Ons is nou 9 jaar getroud. Ons het in 2008 getrou en ons was 3 jaar getroud gewees. En ons was ons lewe lank betrokke by jeug en ons is baie lief vir kinders. En ons wou, toe ons 3 jaar getroud is, het ons besluit ons wil die familie groter maak en ons wil kinders hê. En ons het vir 'n jaar lank probeer en niks het gebeur nie. Ons is jonk, ons het nie veel daarvan gedink nie, maar ons het begin dink, in 'n jaar begin nou 'n bietjie lank te vat. En jong mense is ons maar ongeduldig, so toe het ons begin, ja, ons het nie meer regtig na die Here toe gekyk nie, ons het op ons eie begin staat maak en ons het dokters toe gegaan en die dokters het toetse gedoen. Ons het eers Tabitha het eerste gegaan en hulle toetse gedoen en na, ek dink het was 'n maand of 2, toe kom die dokters terug en hulle sê vir ons, sy gaan nie kan kinders kry nie. En dit het ons so bietjie geskok, ons was bietjie geskok gewees, maar soos ek sê, ons was nog redelik jonk getroud en maar ons het gedink, is net een dokter en ons is nie te veel gestres nie. En ja, ons het nog amper 'n jaar daarna weer probeer, niks het gebeur nie. En so, ek dink 9 maande in daai jaar, en toe het ek maar gegaan dokter toe. Miskien lê die fout by my. En ek moes eerste gegaan het seker. En dokter toe gegaan en ja, dinge was nie heeltemal normaal by my ook gewees nie. Ek sal nie in details ingaan nie, maar die dokters het gesê die kans is baie onwaarskynlik dat ek sal kinders hê. En ja, toe het dit lekker ingesink en dit het ons begin affekteer. En ek onthou een aand het ek net in my kar geklim en see toe gery langs die see gaan sit en huil die aand. En die trotse Afrikaner wat jy is, gaan maar net weer aan en jy dink nie veel daarvan nie en jy bottel dit maar op. En ons was, dit is nou 2005. Toe ons hier in Mamesweer, ons het nog hier gebly nie. En my vrou se maale bly hier so. En ons het hier kom kuier die naweek. En haar sussie hulle was hier gewees en haar sussie hulle het 'n babietjie. En ons het die hele naweek met die babietjie gespeel en opgepas en net soos regtig attached geraak aan die kind en het was lekker gewees. En daai aand het ons moes huis toe gaan, net voor ons huis toe gaan begin Tabitha baie erg te huil. En soveel so, ek ken haar nie dat sy so baie huil nie, dat sy sommer haarself verskoon. Excuse. En ja, sy is aan die kombuis in en haar ma is saam met haar en ek verstaan nie lekker wat aangaan nie. Ek dog ek het iets verkeerd gedoen. En ja, toe ons daai aand in die kar klim, ek vra toe vir haar uiteindelik toe sy bietjie meer kon praat, wat gaan aan, hoekom huil jy? Toe sy baie emosioneel en sy sê vir my, daar is soveel mense daar buiten wat nie wil kinders hê nie, wat kinders kry. En daar is al soveel mense daar buiten wat soos ons is, wat kinders wil hê, maar ons kry nie. En daai aand, ek het my vaag gekalmeer en vaag is, ons het somers het wees geblei. En ek het in daai aand het ek vaag kalmeer voor ons gerei het, dat sy maar slaap in julle pad. En ja, toe het ek begin beklei. Ek het met die Here beklei en ek het in tale gepraat. Ek was baie kwaad gewees. Ek het heeltyd gestoei en ek het gevra hoekom ek het gehuil. Ek het gevra hoekom het ons gesukkel, hoekom het ons hierdeur gaan. Gaan ons nou een van daai families wees wat vir die res van ons lewe groot raak sonder kinders en maar net heeltyd met ander mense se kinders speel en want ek het geweet van kleins af, ek gaan eendag 'n pa word, ek wil 'n pa word. En ja, ek het baie gebid, maar ek het meer geskel as eendag iets anders. En toe ons by die huis kom die volgende oggend, ja, toe begin het. Toe sê Tabitha, sy voel nie baie lekker nie. En bietjie siek geraak, en dit was so dag en 'n half aangaan, en die volgende dag, toe vind ons uit sy swanger. So, ja, dis net die Here. Dis net die Here. En ons het ons kind, ons kon nie op 'n naam besluit, en ons moes 'n naam kies wat hom eer. En Matthew, almal ken van Matthew. En Matthew se naam beteken gift and grace of God. En dis presies wat hy is. Soos ek gesê het vanoggend, God se genade is elke dag nuut. En dit is daar vir ons om te vat. En soms moet jy maar deur 'n ding gaan om by die Here uit te kom en met hom te stoei, dat hy kan sien jy's ernstig oor die saak. So vir die wat hierso sit wat 'n bietjie bemoediging nodig het, wat soortgelyk is, al is dit nie kinders nie, as dit iets in jou lewe is. Een ding wat ek vir julle kan sê is vertrou net die Here. Vertrou op sy tyd. Ja, ons almal weet sy tyd is nie ons tyd nie. Hê maar net geloof en vertrou maar net. Ja, dankie.
Morning everyone. Sibongile Mthimde. I'm just going to give a brief background about before I met God and after I've met God. So before I've met God in 2015, my mother passed away when I was doing my fourth year in university. It was a very difficult year for me. But I didn't know God then, but God was there even though I was far away from him. He was able to walk me through that difficult time. And then after that, I came to Mama's Ferry, and I was at the college, West Coast College, furthering my studies there. And my friend, one of my residents, told me about the church, Shofar Church. And she was always, "What's this church? You know, the people, they are so praying." I was like, okay, if they're praying, what's different from other churches? Because I think prayer is all the same. Like, you don't need to go to a specific church to see God or whatsoever. And she was like, what I like about the people, they don't hold themselves. They worship and praise God. Unlike us, you would look at each other and you have to have a certain way to praise the Lord so that the pastor or the next or the next guy, the guy next to you can say, oh, what a nice way to praise the Lord and all that. So I came to the cell, and I never thought that I was going to receive God that day. It was last year, I think October, if I'm not mistaken, October, November. So I came to the cell, I met everyone, Arena, our mom, and Peter, our dad. Those are our parents here, hence we left our parents back at home. So, so they are our parents here. Arena asked, would you like to receive the Lord? And in my mind, I was like, okay, when you have received the Lord, there's a certain way you have to live your life. Ish, there's a lot. The Lord is demanding a lot. I had that on my mind. But I just said, yes, I would. In fact, I was thinking, no. When I came to the cell, I told myself, if those people ask me to receive the Lord, I won't do that. I know that I won't do that because I know I have my own time that I will receive the Lord. So at that particular time, I won't say yes, I want to receive the Lord. But the Lord was amazing to me. Arena asked me, and I received the Lord, and she prayed for me. During that time, my mother was experiencing financial problems. She even called us, my kids come, I want to have a word with you. We sat in her bedroom and she told us, she was literally crying, my children, I'm really, really in financial debt. And I feel like a failure. I feel like I failed all of you. And we comforted her, no, mom, we have a shelter, our heads, and we have food. We go to bed with something on our tummies. So really, don't stress yourself. I didn't include God in that conversation because I was far away from God. But when I come here, the pretty pastor's wife, I was also frustrated because, you know, at the residence, people would buy clothes, toiletries, and I would be like, oh Lord, I'm running out of this, I'm running out of this. What should I do? And I didn't think of praying. And I don't know what hope did I have, and I didn't know who to look up to. But that day, I went to the residence and I prayed. I said, Lord, I really don't know what I'm doing, but I'm coming before you and asking you to be with my mom. And then I came to church, and the pastor's wife, after the service, we were called in front, asked if there's anyone who would like to be prayed for. Then I came and I told her the story. She prayed. 2 weeks after the prayer, my mom called me saying, my child, I have paid half of my loan, and now I'm planning to pay the rest next month, and I'll destroy every credit card that I have. I was so happy for her, and she was able to give us some money pocket to buy stuff that we needed. And I wanted any job that I could get to help her. I put my CVs and McDonald's everywhere. I wasn't picky at all. Even if I was a cleaner, I would take that. But God said, you won't get any job like that. You will get the job that you have studied for. And in December, it was December, I was at the residence playing a song. It's a vendor song, but it's a worship song. So while I was listening to the song, a call came in, say, hello, am I speaking to Ms. Mtimde? And I said, yes. Ma'am, would you able to go to the interviews in Friedenberg, did you apply for a social work position in social development? And I said yes. And they said, we would like you to go for the interviews. I was so nervous. I didn't want to mess up or do anything. So I Googled, oh my Lord, what have I forgotten that I studied? Okay, and I went on the internet and tried to prepare for the interviews. But the interviews went well, and I got the internship there. I just started on the 2nd of May. So I'll be able to help my mom and financially and just support her all the way. And by the way, the person I'm calling my mom is my aunt, because I think I've mentioned that my mom passed away in 2015. She had skin cancer. So yeah. And the other thing that I thank to God, oh my goodness, I thank to God that I have a connection with him. And when I pray, he can answer my prayers and we are able to interact. I really, really thank God for that. And I know that there's more that he's going to do for me. If I believe, miracles can happen. And if we all believe, miracles can happen. Thank you.
Hallo julle, vir wie wat my nie ken nie, ek is Alta, ek is amper 19 jaar op die dorp. Ek wil graag my getuienis met julle deel. Vir seker meer as 20 jaar terug het ek die behoefte gehad, ek wil graag iets laat doen, is 'n wens, is 'n droom wat ek gehad het. Ek het dit met niemand gedeel nie, want ek was bang vir 'n judgmental mense wat vir my sou dalk al gesê het, maar jy is selfsugtig of jy is dalk ondankbaar. So ek het toe met niemand daaroor gepraat nie. Die rede hoekom ek dit graag wou laat doen het was om my lewenskwaliteit te verbeter. En wat wou ek gedoen het? Ek wou 'n borsreduksie gedoen het. Dit is waar die amazingste van hierdie hele story kom. Ek wou niemand vertel het nie, nou moet ek alles vertel. Wat wel gebeur het, ek het 'n vriendin, 'n skoolvriendin van my, het hierdie operasie laat doen baie jare terug en sy het vir my 'n dokter se naam gegee en die detail mens wat ek is, ek het gaan Google en ek het alles van hierdie man probeer uitvind en so. Ek is 3 jaar terug as ek getroud, so eers moes ek my man se dinges kry laat ek het mag laat doen. En ek het 'n afspraak einde laas jaar met hierdie chirurg gehad en ons het 'n afspraak gemaak. My afspraak was die 9de Februarie hierdie jaar gewees. Uit genade het ek die finansies gehad om dit te laat doen. Ek het die dokter gaan laat gesien en hy het my deur dit gevat en ek het vir hom gesê die rede hoekom ek dit wil laat doen is my lewenskwaliteit te verhoog en obvious is al die redes al horrig geruim, sy spreekkamer sy uitgeweet hoekom ek het wil laat doen. Die 9de Februarie is ek gedoen. Ek was so desperaat vir hierdie operasie dat ek op 'n stadium gedink het, as ek aan proxy staan vir iemand wat selfs 'n mastektomie moet kry, dan sal ek dit doen. En ek het gegaan vir die operasie, omdat ek nog nooit vir 'n mammogram gegaan het nie, want daar is nie kanker in ons familie nie, daar is nie borskanker in ons familie nie, het ek nooit gegaan vir 'n mammogram nie. Buitendien het ek geglo as ek 2 kinders normaal kan kraam, is daar nie 'n manier dat ek 'n mammogram gaan laat doen nie, want hulle sê dis baie seer. En na die operasie, weekliks moet jy die dokter gaan sien, sodat hy jou wonde kan versorg en natuurlik na kan kyk. En hy het vir my die opsie gegee om hierdie borsweefsel te laat toets vir kanker en ek het gesê ja, asseblief, kom ons doen dit. Juist omdat ek nie vir 'n mammogram wil gaan nie en dit is eintlik 'n beter ondersoek vir enige iets kwaadaardig, selfs beter as 'n mammogram. En hy het die weefsel laat wegstuur en 13 dae nadat hy die reduksie gedoen het, kry ek die uitslag, ek het borskanker. Sy woorde aan my was, ons sal 'n bilaterale mastektomie moet doen, soos in 29 dae na my eerste operasie. Vir my was dit soos in, goed, ek is nie in beheer nie, die Here is in beheer. Flippie het dit baie sleg gevat, baie ander mense met wie ek het gedeel het, het dit bitter sleg gevat. Ek was net soos in, ek kan nie dit glo nie, maar ek het geweet, dit moet so wees. Ek het baie vrede daaroor gehad, ek het nou nog vrede daaroor. En ek het toe die dokter gesien, en obvious het hy mos nou 'n algemene chirurg gehad, wat saam met hom hierdie prosedure gedoen het, namelijk die mastektomie. My chirurg het 'n brief geskryf om 'n reduksie onmiddellike reconstructie te kon doen, direct tydens die mastektomie. Nou, ek is toe geskeduleer vir die 10de maart, so ek sê 29 dae na my eerste operasie, en ek het die chirurg gesien, en al twee van hulle het lewe gespreek die heel tyd. Ek is 'n gekwalifiseerde verpleegster wat nooit in my beroep ingegaan het as gevolg van omstandighede nie. So ek het baie saam met dokters gewerk in Tygerberg, en ek weet wat hulle oor mense soms spreek en hoe hulle soms net negatief is, maar al twee hierdie chirurge was die heel tyd so positief geweest, en hulle het my so gerus gestel. En ek het die oggend van die 10de maart moes ek eers na kerngeneeskunde gaan in Stellenbosch, waar hulle prosedure doen, waar hulle kleerstof in jou borste inspuit om jou limf te identifiseer vir die dokter, want dis die eerste ding wat nou moet gebeur, ons moet nou kyk hoe ver het hierdie kanker versprei. Maar die eerste uitslag wat gekom het, het gesê dit was net 8 mm in deursnee, en onmiddellik het die dokter ook vir my gesê, dit sal nie nodig wees vir chemo of bestraling nie, want dit was klein. Gelukkig het ons dit nou in die begin gekry. En ek is toe in, 12 uur is ek toe weer by vergelegen mediekliniek, en ek is in, en my kind en Flip was saam met my gewees, en ek is in theater toe. Theater gekom, hier kry my chirurg vir my, en hy teken vir my, waar alles moet wees, en alles. En ek gaan in theater in, en omdat ek graag alles wil observeer, leek daar, en nou weet ek, hierdie narkotiseer is baie vinnig, so wat ek al wil doen, moet ek vinnig doen. En ek observeer hierdie theater, en ek sien, hier staan my naam op 'n bord, en precies dit wat hulle gaan doen, en my oog gaan op na die dak toe, en dit is so 'n vierkantige ding bokant jou kop, waar alle klomp ligte is, onder andere die groot lig, wat hulle ons altyd so met die arm swaai, tot bokant die pasiënt, die wat nou al daar was, of die wat nou al flieks gekyk het. En ek begin te bid, en ek sê, Here, geef vir my net kalmte van gees, en ek sê toe net vir hom, praat met my in my onderbewussyn, sodat enigiets wat daar is, dat u dit vir my aan die lig sal bring, sodat ek kan deel daarmee. En hierdie lig wat ek toe sien, is soos arendsvlerke gewees, en ek sê vir die Here, maar hy moet ons net omvou, vir my in die chirurge, en net in beheer wees, en hy het dit gedoen, want met daai gedagte het ek aan die slaap geraak. En die eerste keer wat ek wakker geword het, het ek Flip se stem gehoor. Ek het nie my oë oopgemaak nie, want my oë was te swaar van die narkose. En ek het Flip se stem gehoor, en sy eerste woorde was aan my, jy is skoon, jou limf is skoon. So wat hulle gedoen het is, hulle het die limf getoets net daar, in theater, die patologie en dit skoon gevind, so obvious het hulle nie al die limf uitgehaal, het nie die standaard limf saam met die bors weefsel uitgehaal. En die volgende dag, dit was op 'n Vrydag, die Saterdagoggend toe ek is intussen net die verpleegsters my gevoel was, iets wat ek altyd in Tygerberg gedoen het, het ek die keer gekry, so ek was in die ontvangkant gewees, wat vir my fenomenaal was. En ek het, was reg gewees, ek het my eie klere aangehad, ek was so excited, ek was so positief gewees, dit was baie seer gewees, maar baie excited. Hy kom by my, die chirurg, en hy sê vir my die oggend, die saterdagoggend, hy sê vir my, weet jy dat ek met jou gepraat het in herstelkamer? Ek sê vir hom, nee, wat het jy vir my gesê? Hy sê vir my, ek het vir jou gesê, jou limfe skoon. Hy sê vir my, en hy vat my deur die prosedures wat hy gedoen het met my ten tye van die operasie, en hy noem al die goed op, hy sê, weet jy wat het jy vir my gesê? Ek sê vir hom, nee. Hy sê vir my, jy het my gesê, prys die Here vir elke ding wat ek voel, wat hy vir my gesê het. Ek begin toe te huil en ek sê vir hom, nee, ek weet het nie. Ek weet van niks nie. So daai goed wat ek vir Here gevra het om my onder my bewussyn te sit, dit het hy toe uitgebring, selfs in herstelkamer toe ek niks geweet het nie. En ek was vir 'n week in die hospitaal, want jy het limfdreinering wat in 'n botteltjie ingaan. So afwees moes dit genoeg dreineer, ek is ver van hom af, mam is by die Somerset West. So hy wou my nie laat gaan nie, ek het gebly. Ek het sleg gereageer op die medikasie, want ek was baie naar gewees. Ek is toe na een week ontslaan, maar sy woorde aan Flip was, want hy het vir Flip die hele tyd gebel of ge-SMS om my toestand met hom te bespreek en die concern wat by hom was net tevrede te stel of dat hy net weet wat aangaan. En sy woorde was aan Flip gewees, as dit nie vir my deursettingsvermoe vir my positiwiteit en my geloof was nie, dan sou dit vir my baie moeiliker gewees het. So hierdie man het dit raak gesien en ek is so dankbaar daarvoor dat hy kon getuig het daarvan, selfs tussen sy mense in sy praktyk. En ek is toe ontslaan en ek is toe vir 3 weke af, waar ek elke week vir hom toe nog steeds moet gaan. Ek sien hom nou nog elke week, want ek het nog steeds wonde. En die groot ding wat ook gebeur het is, omdat jou lichaam af is, het ek dinges ontwikkel. Ek het, jou gestel is af, so ek het urineweginfeksie ontwikkel, maar elke keer kon hy vir my help, maar dit het 2 keer gebeur, selfs nou net voordat ons na oom Angus sy story in Bloemfontein was. En die ander ding wat gebeur het is, die 7 April was Flip betrokke by die Bethel studente wat van Redding, California afgekom het en hy was nie by die huis gewees nie en my kinders het vir jare en altyd my kinders kon nie by my gewees het nie, so ek kon net by een gewees het en sy was in Durbanville. En ek het by haar gesit die Vrydag aand en ek het iets geruik wat nie vir my aangenaam was nie en ek het later besef, maar dis my een wond wat so ruik. En ek het dit oopgemaak en kort nadat ek by die huis gekom het hy by die huis gekom en dit was soos ek sê Vrydag aand en ek was bekommerd omdat ek dit het regtig soos 'n wond maak, dit het gedreineer soos 'n geel. En ek het die saterdag weer, ek het so gehuil, want ek het geweet, dit is nie reg nie. En die sondag, toe gaan ek saam met Flip na die Bethel, saam met hom terwyl hy met die Bethel studente besig is en net voordat ons die aand huis toe kom, vra Flip, maar hulle moet net vir my bid, want hulle bid nog die heel dag vir healing, maar obvious nie vir my nie, want ek meen, dis nie iets wat jy dadelik kan ervaar of sien wat skoon of reg is nie. En ek het lid vir my gebid en ons is huis toe en die volgende oggend, 8:00 moes ek in Somerset West gewees het en my dokter was nie daar nie, hy was op verlof en die sister het my wonde oopgemaak en soos het bestem was, was die chirurg wat ook deel was van my tweede operasie teenwoordig in die praktyk gewees en hy het kom kyk en hy het vir my gesê, het is nie geïnfekteer nie, het is net limf wat nog dreineer en dat die rooi is 'n irritasie van die vel en nie infeksie nie, ek het nie nodig vir antibiotika nie. En ek laat weet vir Flip, en ja, Flip moet die ding speel vir julle, wat ons self wel gehoor het, die hele kerk het nog nie gehoor, toe hulle hoor wat gebeur het, was dit so amazing. So, al wat ek vir julle wil sê is, ook kort nadat ek ding is gekry het van my limfe skoon, het hulle my borsweefsel getoets, en dit wat oorgebly het is skoon. Hierdie vrou het nie nodig vir chemo of bestraling nie, En dit is net die Here wat dit kon doen. So ek gee vir die Here al die eer wat daar is vir dit wat hy in my lewe gedoen het, wat ek vir julle kan vertel. Want my positiwiteit kom van hom af. Ek is nie bekommerd nie, want ek is nie in beheer nie. Hy is in beheer. Dankie vir julle wat allemaal vir my so ondersteun het met kos en met woord en met gebed. Ek is baie lief vir allemaal van julle. Dankie daarvoor.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Nobuhle Matholengwe, and I was born here in Mamasbury, and then I was living with my mom and dad. Then we went to stay in Eastern Cape, where they belong. So I didn't believe that God is something that existing, because he took the people I really, really love, my mom and my grandmother and my grandfather. So I was like, no, God is not something that is extinct. There's no God here. So when this year I was living here in Lengeletwe, and then I was like, since my grandmother and my grandfather were in Roman Catholic Church, so I feel as if this is where I was born. So I was like looking for the Roma, and then this is my Roma, because when I was looking for that church, I met a Rasta, and that Rasta showed me the wrong way. And I met other women. So she told me that she knows that she knows where is the Roman Catholic Church, but where there's the Roma, there are many churches there. So she don't understand which is Roma there. So there was no church, like there was four churches, but they were not written. And then I was like, no. I saw another man, and I was like scared, because it was late, and then I was alone, and I was like, I want to go to that person, but I am scared because he is the man, and I'm alone on the street. And then I finally went to him, and I asked, where is the Roma? And he said, Roma is one of this church, but I'm not sure which one. And then he said, I'm going to church. Do you want to go with me? I said, you are going to the church? And she said, yes. It was like, are you hungry? I want to eat, and I don't have time. Let's go. And then I decided to walk with him. And I wasn't trusting him, because he is the man. And we walked together. And I saw people, many people, and they were eating there over the road. And he showed me another person, and he said, I must ask to that person, where is the Roma? And he said that, he told me about this church, and he said, if you want to be the member of our church, we don't have problem, you can come. And I decided to be like, okay, I will come with you. So here, I really, really found God. Now I know that God is existing. Like, I know that God loves me, and even though there is something terrible that has happened to me, and he showed me that, Nobuhle, you are my daughter. I love you so much, and you are the apple of my heart. So you are my queen, and I love you so much. And yeah, I really, really know that God is because.
Thanks, Nobuhle. You were amazing. Pieter, you can go come share and.
Good morning. I'm not even sorry for those who heard my story a few times. Yes, the Lord healed me, and I'm just so thankful. I can't stop talking about it. So I'm a doctor, and a bit of a skeptic of healing, miracles. And the Lord thought good to put something in my life that's something that I can measure that He's healed me with. So I've had this thing for a year and a half that my arms and my hands were like lame. I lost my power and I lost the feeling in my arm. And it was about, I think, a month and a half ago that the morning that was prayed over my arm, and it was about two hours later that I started getting the feeling back, and the afternoon the power in my hand was restored. So there's in my heart no doubt that this is a miracle that God has done. Okay, because it's only operations that can fix something like that. But this is a gift that I received from God. But I want to talk about the giver. He's infinite in just everything that He does. He's infinite in power. He's infinite in kindness. He's infinite in mercy, in love. He's infinite in perfectness. He's infinite just in creativity. So that's the God that I serve. And He can do more than any one of us can think or imagine. So just all thanks to Him.
Right, André. Ek weet, ons is nou al amper verby ons tyd, maar ons is nog nie. Ek het hom uit die bed uitgeruk vanoggend. Sê, kom. En dan, na André gaan ons nagmaal hou.
Ja, dis, ons het so bykie, ek en my reis bykie baie goed in die gang op die oomlik, en vanoggend is het nog ons bykie awkward as jy pastoor jou wakker bel. So, baie dankie. Ja, okay, ja, okay, 5 minutes, and then nog 5 minutes, okay, so, yeah, when I was in grade 12, at school, I liked sports more than anything else, basically, and it was rugby, cricket, athletics, tennis, whatever I was doing it, and in February, in my matric year, we started doing lots of fitness for the rugby season coming, and we still playing cricket and so on, and I couldn't keep up with the fitness, and I was always quite fit. I was always like one of the like front runners and so on, and so then with the fitness stuff, the like these big forwards used to come running past me in fitness, and later on I thought, hey, but something's not right. And when we were playing cricket, I was in my third ball in my over, and I couldn't bowl, so I just like gave the batsman a lolly. Yeah, that's I was like, what's going on? Anyway, so I went to the doctor, and the doctor tested my blood and urine and so on, and the results came back that I had leukemia. So I was sitting in my classroom the one day, and I can still remember in the maths class, and my two friends and I were sitting right at the back, and the secretary of the principal came into the classroom, and she never left the office. It was the strangest thing, seeing her out of her office, and she said to the teacher, "Is Andre here?" And I'm immediately like, okay, what did I do? So I start thinking back to break time and to and I couldn't remember. Anyway, so he said, "Yeah, there he is." And she said, "Please come with me." And I stood up, and she said, "Now bring your bag also." And I was like, "Oh, now I'm in trouble." Yeah. So, anyways, we started walking towards the principal's office, and I was just thinking all the way, like, "What have I done? I can't think of anything that was so bad that I need to go to the principal." So when we got to the foyer, my father was standing there. I thought, oh, no, it's really, now I'm okay. Yeah, it's just getting worse. Anyway, so he had to tell me that I had leukemia. And, yo, this was probably the, you know, I felt so sorry for him. And yeah, so we got back. I immediately went to Constantiaberg Mediclinic in Cape Town, and there I started receiving my chemo and stuff like that. And within, I think, 2 or 3 months, when I was diagnosed, I weighed about 75, 76 there. About within 3 months, I weighed 46 kilograms. Yeah, I lost all that weight. I couldn't eat. I was nauseous all the time. And they put me in the like isolation unit from then on. I remember the one day I passed out, and then I woke up in a different room. And yeah, that's how they moved me there. And so then I started getting these side effects. You know, I got so sick they couldn't keep on giving me chemotherapy. I think the doctor said I had about 30% of my chemotherapy, and then they had to stop because I was just too ill. I was lying in the bed. I was in the hospital for 4 months, and I couldn't walk. I lost all the all my power in my legs and everything. I was really like, when people came to visit me, they said it's like there was just like the blanket was there, but there was nothing under the blanket. And I was really, there was nothing left of me. And then these other things started because I was so sick, I couldn't, you know, the things in my body wasn't working that well. I started getting a heart problem. I can't exactly remember what it was, but my heart wasn't working very well. Then I had a perforation in my bowel, and then I had a strange thing in my kidney my liver, that they couldn't figure out what it was, so they had to get in test drugs from the USA. And by that time, the doctor said to my parents, listen, this is it. If this thing doesn't work, we can't do anything more for him. We can't give him any more chemo. And by the grace of God, I was in remission from only 30% of the chemo. So the cancer was, the cancer wasn't there anymore. And the doctor said, you know, like, this is it. You know, if this doesn't work, I mean, it wasn't even on the market. That was how desperate they were. So they gave me that medicine, and it worked. So all those kind of things subsided, and I could start eating again and so on, and restore a little bit of my strength. And I went home after 4 months in hospital, and I had to do matric the next year again. So I always said your second matric year is your best matric year. So, so I did matric again, and they put me on a very light chemo because they didn't give me all the chemo, so I had to go through 3 years of a very light chemo course, like once a month. It didn't affect me that bad at all. And so then I went on to study, and I could do like all the things that I did. The only thing I've left is I couldn't play rugby anymore. My body is a bit different than it was then. I bruise easily now, so I don't want to get tackled now. So, I went to study at Elsenburg, and in my third year, the medication stopped. And 6 months after that, something in my body was, you know, I started realizing something's not right. So I went back to the doctor, and so the cancer returned. The doctor said, you know, when I came out of the hospital initially, they said, you don't have to get a bone marrow transplant. We're going to give you the extended chemo course. So it turns out that I actually had, I needed the transplant. So I went through the chemo again. It was a daunting thing, like, in my mind to get through, because I got so sick from it the previous time. But I went through it by the grace of God. I wasn't nauseous once in 5 months. I went through the whole chemo therapy. And so I was well. The doctor said, okay, we're going to do a transplant. And but now we need to find you a bone marrow a donor. And he said, but with your kind of bone marrow that did analysis, you've got about a 1 in 100,000 chance of finding a perfect match. That was his odds. So that's not very good odds. Yeah. And so they started testing my two brothers, and they fit one another, but they don't match me. So the the milkman joke and the postman joke is still very alive and well in the family. And so they didn't, I didn't match them, so then they had to go and look abroad and just a bit wider. So the doctor said, you can go and work, it's fine. You're healthy, but we're still gonna go keep on searching. So they searched and searched, and every now and again they would find 20 candidates, and then when they narrow it down, there was always something, no, this is at the last test, no, that's, it's not a match, it's not a match. So I just left it and went on. And one day my mother phoned me, and she said, they found me a donor, 100% match, woman from, a lady from Portugal. So it was in, I was initially diagnosed in 2001. When the cancer returned was 2006. And they found me down in 2007. So I had to quit my job, and we went into this, into the transplant, and the transplant went very well. I went through it without any problems, and this is now almost in August it'll be 10 years since the transplant, and from 1 in 100,000 odds. Yet I'm standing. I believe that is a miracle. If a doctor says to you, you've got that little chance. We've only got 80,000 people registered at that stage on the South African bone marrow directory. So also, if you guys can just get tested, couple of tubes of blood. That's all it is. No, but anyways, here I stand. The doctors didn't really give me a chance then. I didn't have the best odds for finding a donor. And I just also want to agree with him, Peter. You know, it's God. God is the God of the impossible. You know, I didn't know the Lord then. I knew of him, but I didn't know him. But through that whole time, something in me said, "You are not going to die. You are going to live." Even though I couldn't turn myself in my bed, the nurses had to come and turn me around in the bed. I knew that I was not going to die. God is good. God is faithful. And all praise to him.
Hallelujah. Thanks for the testimonies, guys and girls. It's really amazing.